Newstalk ZB and the New Zealand Herald present Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, demystifying your finances.
Hi, I'm Frances Cook. Welcome to the show. Politicians are always banging on about the economy. Who has the better understanding of it, how they're the person to get our economy running hotter, and why the other guy's ideas are stupid. Which is all well and good, but what about on the day-to-day level? Do our politicians remember what it's like to be the little guy like you or me? And are they keeping an eye on the issues affecting our lives? How hard it is to make ends meet? Maybe even a few suggestions on what we can do for life to be a bit easier. Money issues touch every part of our lives, and I want to know what the people in charge think about it. So, I asked the leader of each political party currently in Parliament for their best money tip to help the average person. This time, it's the Māori Party.
Newstalk ZB presents Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, boosting your business confidence.
I'm joined now by Māori Party co-leader Te Reroa Flavel. So, what's your one money tip to help out the average person?
Well, I don't know about average person, but certainly I have a view that when I was at school, one of the things that set me up in the sense of understanding about the importance of saving was to have a post office account. And in those days, what would happen was the primary school would set up a post office account for pretty much every student, and you had a Wednesday when everybody brought some money in, you put it in the bank, everybody gathered all the money in, you got sent down to the post office, you got a stamp bank, it was a dollar in each week or something like that, and while we didn't necessarily save up a heap of money, it just set the scene for understanding about the value of money. So I don't know about average person, but average child, I reckon that sets them up in a good pathway to thinking about the whole notion of banking and the value of money, actually.
Yeah, how did it change your attitudes towards money, do you think?
Well, in my time, it's not as if we had a heap of money, and so you sort of, you know, you got about, dingers in those days, it was a shilling or something like that, and it was all about lollies. But you never thought about savings. But actually, when I got older, I understood, even thinking about getting a house, that, there's nothing there, you know. Albeit there's a bit of a gap between being in primary school and then going away to boarding school, et cetera, et cetera, then going to university. But when you go to university, again, you've got to save. And I think that the whole notion around setting kids up to understand about financial literacy from a very early age, and in fact, the understanding about the value of money, what you can do with it once it comes Christmas time or whatever, celebrations, that all sets the scene for, the value that we place on money. Albeit, if you haven't got a lot, you understand about the value of utilising it in a better way. And if you've got a heap, then you kind of like to think that it tells you about the value of saving, about investment, those sorts of things later on in life.
Yeah, I've got to say, the early parts of my childhood were in England, so slightly different. But my parents used to take me to the bank every weekend, and it was putting £1
yep.
into the savings account. So it was a similar idea. And then, you know, we moved to New Zealand and I heard about these schemes that they had at the schools. And what I like about the school idea is it makes sure that everybody gets exposed to this, whether or not their parents are financially savvy. Is that what you think is one of the benefits?
I'm not exactly sure about that, because the circumstances from when I was younger are a hell of a lot different from now. And so some parents might question about, well, what am I giving a dollar over for, or whatever it might be, you know, because it was, you could give at least a dollar, but give up, but give more if you wanted to. And sometimes the circumstances of families today is not that actually you've got even a dollar to spare. So it's something that I think still sets a scene for, as I say, the value of money and understanding the value of money, and setting people up for life in terms of understanding the money you go around. Because, you know, as you grow up and you get a little bit older, then it's too much sometimes to, even my own kids rely a little bit on mum and dad, a little bit too much, when in fact I'll be saying, well, hey, hold on, well, we've looked after you until such time as you're out of the door. Now, yeah, university will give you some support, but actually if you're going to go out and drink or do anything else like that, no, that's not my responsibility, that's yours. You look after your money, you get your money. That's how I see it. But it doesn't always work out like that, because my wife and I look after our kids anyway in terms of trying to, whenever they're stuck, give them some money. But I think the values that we're trying to instill in our children can be set at a very early age.
Yeah, don't spend the rent money on beer.
It's true, because there are consequences of that. And sometimes our young ones don't necessarily think about the consequences that come from that. I mean, if I give you an example, my youngest daughter used her oldest sister's car while she was away overseas, but happened to get a driving offence to the value of $200. So now that the sisters come back, got the infringement notice, says I wasn't in the country when it happened, and I say very easy, pass that on to your younger sister who was using the car. Now she will understand the value of $200 in her bank if it's not there to be paid,
and the value of not upsetting your older sister.
The value of that, but her older sister was a little bit angry, but I think she'll pass it on, and then the younger sister will get it and think, now what? I've got to pay $200 when, in fact, I need to do this, that, and the other thing, and I could have done it if I had $200. Those sorts of things, I think, are lessons that could be learnt a lot, maybe not in that harsh way, but certainly, again, teaching people the value of money. So you're just not, as the old saying goes, money doesn't just grow on trees. And indeed, if you're going to save up, what better way to set the scene than to have a bank account at a very early age to be able to start thinking about putting money aside, and just the sheer practice of putting money aside, I think, is a valuable lesson for our young people.
Yeah, and particularly a lot of these school programs, I mean, they will start in primary school very often. What's the value of starting so young then?
I think it just sets the scene, you know. I mean, firstly, the whole notion of parents supporting children is something that sometimes we forget about, except that when you have to compulsorily pay for a school trip or something else like that, oh, okay, you got to pay it over. But actually paying towards a child's future is totally different. And I think that if we're able to give, firstly, the recognition from the child that my mum, my dad, the people that look after me and my caregivers actually giving me some money to put away in a bank account for my future, I think that's a valuable lesson. I think the notion of parents thinking about their children in concrete ways that says, I'm setting my child up for the future as well by putting money into this bank account. Because many will say, well, actually, I can afford $5, not $1. I can afford $5 for now. Next week might be a little bit lean, but actually contributing into a savings account that shouldn't be broken. Should be left there for a period of time. I haven't thought of it. We're just talking about the concept of putting money away. But, you know, there might be a come a point in time when you say, righto, when you get to intermediate, you can access this amount of money to the tune of $10. By that stage, you might have saved $200. So at least you get the value of that and say, well, I can access it. But the values that you've learnt, the practices that you've learnt from, let's say, from year five when you enter primary school through to, and probably a little bit young to understand at that age, but once you get into the senior parts of the school, years 7 and 8, you'd probably be in a little bit better of a space to understand how it all happens, and then be able to make some sensible decisions about the money where you can buy stuff for yourself. And that might well set the scene for about spending and receiving money and understanding issues of budgeting. And it must go with some sort of, I reckon there's got to be something about just not giving over money and saying, well, okay, every Wednesday, goodbye and good riddance money, and thank you very much. I think there's an element of also moving into the sort of when the kids are a little bit higher in primary school to give them lessons about financial literacy as well, so that they get the whole notion about money movement. So I'd suspect that should go along with it as well, not just the whole notion of, right, a whole country, every Wednesday, everybody, firstly, we'll set you up with a bank account for your child, number one. Number two, we will organise a process to gather that money in and bank it and provide you with a receipt and send the book home or whatever it might be. I think we must have that element of teaching and learning about financial literacy as valuable lessons for an adult life. I mean, and me personally, I can't say that I mean, I know how to receive money and I definitely know how to spend it, but the whole notion about budgeting is very much, that's all my wife's side. She looks after that. Hell, I got no idea about issues of insurance, the whole bit. And partly, why? Because actually in an adult life, I didn't take too much time to even worry about that. I mean, issues that we might learn later on around GST. Why is GST? What is GST? Our young ones need to know some of those lessons so that they can take that on board in an adult life. Sometimes we don't necessarily teach all that stuff, but if we were able to move towards financial literacy at that sort of intermediate, top of the primary end, in a far more rigorous way, and back it up with practice, because that's the key, backing it up with banking and being able to withdraw money if you needed to, doing it yourself, then I think that those are the sorts of practices that could be pretty helpful.
Yeah, I've got to say, that whole issue of financial literacy, I mean, that's one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast, because I feel like I launched into adult life ill-equipped. I did not know how to handle my money, and there was a few hard lessons learned along the way. And do you think that's something that should be taught in schools or elsewhere? I mean, are we loading schools up too much? Whose responsibility is this?
Oh, I think the closest mark that we can get, if school is about teaching then and learning, then I think there's a place to be had within schools. The age, I'm not exactly sure, because I'm not a primary teacher, I'm a secondary teacher, but I do know the sort of top of the primary end, where kids actually have an understanding, a functional understanding about how issues to do with financial literacy work, I think are important. But like you, I mean, jingers, there's heaps of things that I don't know about how to handle. The simplest things of spending and getting money, I get. That's easy. Yeah. But it's actually all the other bits and pieces that might come up in your adult life that sometimes miss us. I mean, you're going to move into business. Somebody's got to teach you about the filling out forms of GST. Actually, and this is one of the biggest problems, is in my portfolio as an economic development minister, it's clear to me that young people are suffering on the lack of certain things. And that's why not to go too political, but we've launched the Passport for Life, which is about a birth certificate, because you're going to need that at some point or another. You're going to need a bank account. Absolutely you are. An IRD number. You need that to be able to pay your tax. You need a driver's license. That's important in terms of you being able to get to work, not being able to work. And so many young people these days are stuck because they don't get the license. They get caught without the license. They get taken to court. They don't pay the fine. They end up, it's just an ugly circle.
Spirals.
That's right. So yeah, we've been very much pushing towards this notion of Passport for Life, which is not just about the driver's license. And the last one, of course, is a passport, because then you start lifting your horizons to be able to think about travelling overseas and that sort of stuff. So all of that comes to pass in terms of the sorts of things we think would set young New Zealanders up in a better state to be able to move out of school, certainly secondary school, with all of the things that they're going to need for their life.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. That's Maripati co-leader Te Araroa Flavel. If you have any questions about this podcast or an idea for next time, do get in touch. I'm Frances Cook, journalist on Facebook, and Frances Cook on Twitter. Don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and the Apple Podcast app. Until next time, have a great day.
And that's Frances cooking up your business confidence for another week on News Talk ZB.